All right, another fantastic open. Mario Ruiz, appreciate you guys tuning in. Lakers talk till 8 o'clock tonight. Jovan Buha is going to join us in about a half hour or so. He's out in Memphis. What a start for the Los Angeles Lakers out in Memphis to get the playoffs started. Some things just really some bad luck for the Memphis Grizzlies, to be honest with you, on some of this stuff. And then it's the Lakers also playing some really good basketball, so it's a combination of the two. Got a few things I want to get into. Certainly talk a little bit about game one. I'm going to kind of start turning the page and we could start looking at game two and why the Lakers have an opportunity to be greedy here and come back to crypto.com on Saturday up 2-0. Also spend a little time on just the biggest story coming into game two. Ja Morant going to play or is he not? You know, sometimes in the playoffs and the postseason, things are working your way and sometimes things are not. And so far for the Memphis Grizzlies, it at least appears that injuries are going to be the difference of them making some noise in these playoffs. Also want to talk about some of the other NBA matchups and specifically that Kings-Warriors matchup, which, hey, you guys take as much time as you guys need there. Go seven games if you need to. And that certainly benefits the Lakers if that series takes a little bit longer. Let's start off with this. Impressive, impressive start for the Lakers. I thought walking into this game, there were a few things for me that I think were important. And I think you needed some of these things to happen. And for the Lakers, everything happened. Everything happened for them. And I'll walk through what I'm referring to there. All these things went the Lakers' way. So let me give you an example. I spent a lot of time kind of leading up to game one talking about you got to get a split. You got to get one of these two games in Memphis. I didn't feel confident that if the Lakers fell down 0-2, did not like their chances of winning 4 out of 5 games. Part of that reason is because just you could tell the way the Lakers were logging so many of those minutes, the way some of these key players looked gassed and tired in the last game they played against Minnesota or the game before that against the Jazz or the game before that against the Suns or the Clippers or whatever. Go look at that last week and a half of the season. That's a tall task if you fall down 0-2 and you're playing a young team that they're just going to get more and more energy as the series goes on where that doesn't exactly play to the advantage of the Lakers. So can you get a split in Memphis? They took game one. So now, at worst, you're coming back with a split. And I'll talk about how, you know, it's important to be greedy if you're the Los Angeles Lakers moving forward. I'm not just making that up either. It's very realistic for the Lakers to come back up 2-0. I thought coming into this game one, they needed players to help outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis. I think it's safe to say that certainly wasn't a problem, whether it was Rui Hachimura with his 29 points, hit 5 threes, 11 of 14 from the field, or was Austin Reaves with 23 and really kind of controlling the offense for the Lakers in the final couple of minutes. D'Angelo chipped in with 19 points. So they had plenty of help outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis. And if you get 3-4 guys, all 20 guys or 20 points or more on top of LeBron and AD, yeah, you tell me how you beat the Lakers under those circumstances. And they certainly stepped up, and I'm talking about some of the role players. I thought you needed impact from your stars, of course, LeBron and Anthony Davis, and they did what they needed to do, and it was different. It wasn't dominating performances. Anthony Davis didn't have one of those 38-18 games. Bron didn't have a 30-point triple-double. But how about between the two players, Anthony Davis and Bron? You know, LeBron and Anthony Davis combined had 10 block shots and 5 steals. Now, I know AD got the bulk of that, 7 blocks along with 3 steals, but they did what they needed to do. Again, they weren't dominating, but they also weren't forcing the issue. One of the things, and I've spent some time talking about this every time we talk about Bron, when Bron's at his best, he's typically a facilitator. When Bron's at his best, it's because he's so great at doing the other things. That's when I enjoy watching Bron the most. What I don't enjoy watching is dribbling the ball for 20 seconds and taking a bad shot, a contested three or whatever the case is. Really didn't see too much of that yesterday at least towards the end of that game. AD had 22 and 12, and the 7 blocks and 3 steals. And Bron shot 50% from the field, 21 and 11, with 3 blocks and 2 steals. And by the way, also had 5 assists on top of that. So the Stars did what they needed to do. And then the last thing that I was really, really curious about coming into this game was the time off going to benefit the Lakers? Was the time off going to show, hey, that's why they struggled over the last week and a half of the season, or they didn't play their best? They looked fresh. Right out the gate, the Lakers look fresh, which I think is also that helps. That's comforting to know that, okay, hey, then we do have a story here. The Lakers, that record that they had to close out the season, it was legit. And on top of it, not to question that it was legit or it wasn't legit, but it was more, are the Lakers in a funk right now, or is it just you're playing so many games, you got some of these back-to-backs, you're cramming in big-time minutes to the Stars, that if they got some time off, would they look good and they look fresh? And that's exactly what happened. 4 days off for the Lakers, no question about it, played to a huge benefit for the Lake Show. And by the way, the fact that they don't play again until Wednesday, and then they don't play after that until Saturday, this is kind of the best-case scenario that you can look for if you're a Laker fan out there. You're getting proper rest at the right time as the playoffs are going on and your team looks healthy. So to put a little bit of a bow on Game 1, mission accomplished. I don't know what else I could have asked for in Game 1. Now, listen, was it a blowout? The score looks like a blowout, but we know if you watch the game, listen to the game on 710, it certainly wasn't a blowout. 128-112 does not represent what that game was. Jaren Jackson Jr. hit a three that brought the game to within one with 3 minutes left to go. But once Ja Morant was out, and Ja Morant, I think, left maybe a minute earlier, the game was over. This is why I'm paying attention to Game 2 and why it's so important to be greedy in Game 2. Sometimes you get greedy because you say to yourself, all right, well, we stole one away from the Memphis Grizzlies. They didn't steal one. They just played a really good game, and there's key pieces missing for the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Lakers are clearly, obviously, in a position where they could try to take advantage of it. But it's very realistic to come back to L.A. Lakers got a game coming up on Wednesday, and then their next game after that is going to be on Saturday at Crypto.com, 7 p.m. tip-off. They have a very, very good chance of coming back 2-0. The biggest storyline coming into Game 2 has nothing to do with the Lakers. It really doesn't. It's the status of the best player for the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm going to read something off here because Woj talked about this. Adrian Wojnarowski talked about this a little bit earlier on the NBA Today show that they have on ESPN. And he says that there's significant doubt Ja Morant will be available for Game 2. Significant doubt that he'll be available. And you heard Ja Morant yesterday in the postgame talking about, you know, his status for Game 2 was in jeopardy. And he just talked about bad luck and everything else. I'm going to ask Laker fans. You guys can help me with this one. Someone explain to me how this is a series if Ja's not healthy, let alone unavailable. Okay, let's say he's available, but he's not Ja Morant. There's only so much that you can do. And I've heard people, and we spent some time, I heard a lot about it today. Yeah, but, you know, when Ja wasn't there for this stretch of the season, the Memphis Grizzlies were actually playing better than 500 basketball. Last year, they were excellent when Ja Morant was out. I get that. I understand, you know, what could happen in the regular season. That's not happening against the Lakers in a playoff run and a postseason run. It's just not. You don't have enough scoring if you're the Memphis Grizzlies. You don't. You don't have enough playmakers if you're the Memphis Grizzlies if Ja Morant is not there. And oh, by the way, Lakers are a good defensive team. So even when Ja Morant was there, it's not like Ja Morant was lighting up the Lakers with 45 points. They were putting Jared Vanderbilt on him. Vanderbilt was picking him up full court. I think he had 10 points at the half, maybe finished with 18 points if I'm right. Let me take a quick look here. I want to see Ja. 8 of 14, 18 points, and he played 30 minutes. So I mean, his game was under control. It's actually Jaren Jackson that was really hurting the Lakers with his 31 points or whatever that whatever total that he ended up having. But I just don't see how this is a series if Ja's not healthy. And if, you know, according to Woj, the concern for just game two is there's significant doubt that he's going to be there for game two, then I don't see a scenario where the Los Angeles Lakers don't come back to Crypto.com on Saturday, not up 2-0. I'd actually be disappointed if they're not up 2-0, if Ja Morant's not playing in that game on Wednesday. Again, 48 minutes against the Los Angeles Lakers, and you're missing your best player. This just has some bad luck right now for Memphis. There's no other way to put it. Listen, if Ja Morant was healthy, if Steven Adams was healthy, and if Brandon Clark were all healthy, we have a real series. And the Grizz are probably favored in this series. I mean, I think they were favored even without Steven Adams and Brandon Clark. But they're all not healthy. It's not their fault. It's just bad luck. And we've certainly seen this from a Laker perspective these last couple of years. Let's go back 2 years ago when the Lakers were taking on the Phoenix Suns. Remember when the Lakers took a 2-1 series lead and Anthony Davis got ended up getting injured in Game 4? Yeah, that was a wrap. The series was over. And I don't see this really being any different if Ja Morant has, you know, serious problems with his – it's his hand. It's his shooting hand. All right, let's forget the shooting. How about just dribbling up and down the floor? You know, it's as significant as – it's so important for what he does that even if he is there, it's obviously clear that he's not going to be 100% healthy. Listen, we say this all the time in sports. You don't have to be the best team. You got to be the healthiest and the hottest at the right time. And what's hurting the Memphis Grizzlies, I'm not questioning that they're a good team. I'm not questioning that they don't have talent. They're not healthy. It's the equivalent of the Los Angeles Lakers. You take, you know, a LeBron or AD out, and then a role player or two, it's a completely different team. And you know, that's obviously unfortunate for the Memphis Grizzlies. You can almost look at it as two polar opposites for both of these teams right now. Lakers have never been healthier, and the Grizz as beat up as any team that's remaining in the playoffs. All right, we're going to take some of your phone calls coming up next here. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Laker fans, kind of your thoughts, not just on game one, but I want to start turning the page on game one and start looking forward to game two. Your thoughts on where the Lakers are sitting right now, your thoughts on what the Lakers need to do to go up 2-0, and any other topic that's of interest to you, 877-710-ESPN. Also want to give a shout out here, Valvoline Instant Oil Change, proud partner of ours. They do such a fantastic job as far as their service goes, and we appreciate their partnership here on Lakers Talk. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Okay, a few things we'll do when we come back. We'll take some of your phone calls. Also want to talk specifically about Game 2. I think it's time to do that. And I want to play out some circumstances with the Lakers because we've seen them in situations like this before where they have their opportunity to put their foot on the gas, and sometimes they play down to their competition. What should we expect in Game 2 from the Lakers? So we'll do all that coming up next as well. Jovan Buha in about 15 minutes. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, that was Jovan Buha actually asking the question to Austin Reeves. Jovan's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. Okay, so a couple things I want to do here. And, it's kind of fascinating to see the Lakers, and finally it's playoff basketball again, and where they were a couple of months ago. And now some stuff kind of breaking their way. Look, I don't want to see it. I don't. Of course, injuries to other teams. You never want to see injuries to your own team. But what's happening to the Memphis Grizzlies is just not something that they can control. It's not because Memphis is a bad team. It's not because Memphis has done anything wrong. But significant players, they're either out, Steven Adams and Brandon Clark, which is a big, big foundation of what the kind of how the team was built. You have your a couple big guys, Steven Adams being the anchor. They grab boards. They kind of solidify the paint. And then they just outlet it, and all the guys run, whether it's Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant. And now on top of that, you got Ja Morant that's injured as well. So some bad luck in the cards for the Memphis Grizzlies. And the question now is for the Lakers, do you take advantage of it? And do you allow a series to linger? Or do you walk into Wednesday's game and you treat it like you're down 0-1? And the conversation around that locker room is, it's impossible that we don't come back to Crypto up 2-0 if Ja Morant's either not 100% healthy or maybe even unavailable. We won't know until we get closer to actual tip-off. Let's take a couple quick calls here. David in Temple City. David, what's going on?
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say, like, when I was watching the Lakers and Memphis game, game one yesterday on ABC, I have to say, you know what, as much as I love the Lakers, I have to say I was very surprised the way they played yesterday. And you know what? I'm really glad that they put a whippy on Memphis, because I remember the series, Dylan Brooks was saying that he wanted LeBron. So hopefully.
David, let me play off of that, because I think that's kind of been the Memphis Grizzlies, right? Where they kind of run their mouth. That's what they do. And to be honest with you, I don't really mind it. You're going to tell me that LeBron James doesn't have it in the back of his mind, okay, so this guy is calling me out as if he's won 4 NBA championships or he's been to 10 NBA finals. And the difference now between the Lakers and these last couple of years, they got some real help. There's some real players that the Lakers have. There's guys that are out there that – every single night, it could be somebody different. I'll give you an example. Rui Hachimura had 29 yesterday. Do I expect Rui to have 29 coming up on Wednesday? No, I don't. But I'll tell you what can very easily happen is Rui can have 12, and Beasley can have 10, and Vanderbilt can have 7, and there's your 29. If D'Lo has a bad night, Dennis Schroeder can step in and perform like he did against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Reeves has been more of the consistent of all the role players. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, you can call out Bron, but towards the end of that game yesterday, LeBron James was actually playing off the ball. It was Austin Reeves that was facilitating the offense. So this is not just, hey, I'm worried about one guy, I'm worried about one player. That is not the case at all right now. For the Lakers, they got a number of guys that can contribute, and that's really that's the only way you win in the league. In today's NBA, you got to have multiple role players that are contributing. Obviously game in and game out. Solomon in Lake Balboa, what's going on, Solomon?
Hey, Alan, thanks for taking my call. I got two things: one about the game and one about moving forward. And I really don't want this to come off the wrong way. I, like you, never ever want to see a player injured, and especially a star like Ja. However, when he and AD went down in a heap, I'm going, oh, my God, thank God it's not AD this time. Usually AD doesn't walk away from a collision like that. You know what I'm saying? So the basketball guys were kind of, you know, blessing the Lakers again. Now, moving forward, you are absolutely right. Memphis is pretty much done. That's three strikes, you're out. Adams, Clark, and now Ja, I just don't see them coming back. And like you said, you came up with a great term, don't play with your food. Take care of business in game 2, come back 2 up, And who knows? Maybe you got a chance to sweep these guys, and it's more rest. And rest benefits the Lakers. They don't get rust. They get better.
Salman, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for the call. Quick shout-out here to Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Just pull up, drive in, and drive out in about 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to hear from Jovan Buha, get his thoughts on Game 1, what we should expect in Game 2. We'll do all that coming up next. He's in Memphis as well, so great to connect with him. Plus, I still got a lot of stuff I want to get into about the NBA playoffs. Keep an eye on the Lakers or on the Kings and the Golden State Warriors. They're playing right now. Why that series, one way or the other, can obviously benefit the Lakers. So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
All right, Game 2 for the Lakers coming up in Memphis on Wednesday. Be an early tip-off, 4:30 tip-off, and pregame show will start at 3 o'clock. Want to welcome in Jovan Buha, covers the Lakers and the NBA for The Athletic. Jovan, I'll start with this. I know you're out in Memphis. Just your kind of quick overall thoughts, what some of your takeaways were from Game 1 and how you think it can, you know, obviously, I guess you could say leak into Game 2.
Yeah, well, I think Game 1 went about as well as it could have for the Lakers. Of course, you know, there's the injury scare with Anthony Davis in the first half, and it kind of went from, you know, looking like the Lakers season might have been over to, you know, looking like they could make a conference finals run by the end of that game with the way that they closed it, that 15-0 run, and then Ja Morant going out with that hand injury. You have to consider them the heavy favorites. But I think for me, the fact that LeBron and AD only combined for 43 points, like, that to me has to be, you know, likely the low that they'll combine for in the series, if not the entire postseason. And the fact that they were still able to win a game on the road against the team with the best home record, Memphis was 35-6 in the regular season at home, that to me was just a very encouraging sign. And then, of course, Rui Hachimura going off for 29 points, hitting 5 threes, all 5 in the second half. Austin Reeves, I think, you know, officially arriving on the national scene with 23 points and, you know, 14 of those in the fourth quarter, including 9 straight. So, like, to me, that really was the fact that, you know, the Lakers stole home court advantage against the best home court team in the NBA, but also did so with LeBron and AD not having particularly great offensive performances. So that to me was a really encouraging sign. And again, I think they have to be heavily favored in this series moving forward.
Yeah, Jovan, I was trying to make the argument here and trying to figure it out. We're not sure what's going to happen with Ja Morant, his status, it sounds like. And even Ja was saying it yesterday, in jeopardy for Game 2. Can you help me understand how can this be a series? And I'm not even talking about Memphis winning the series. I'm talking about just making it a series if Ja Morant is not healthy. And it's not something that the Grizzlies have done wrong, but Steven Adams, Brandon Clark, and now Ja Morant, clearly not healthy. How can it be a series if those three players are not there, including Ja Morant?
Well, I think the one way is, you know, we've seen this from Memphis before where, you know, particularly last season when Ja was out, they had a really impressive record. They won some games in the playoffs without him and you know, not as good this season without him, but have still been able to kind of, you know, remain afloat and hang around 500. So I think there's a blueprint for them to, I think, win a game without Ja Morant. You know, Desmond Bane could drop 30 on you at any game. You know, Dylan Brooks is going to take enough shots that he might have the random game he goes off for 25. Jaren Jackson Jr., I think, you know, just won Defensive Player of the Year. Didn't have the best defensive performance, but really offensively, what was impressive, you know, dropped 31 points, scored a lot in the post against LeBron and Rui, and I think what was a problem down there. So, you know, Tyus Jones is one of the better backups in the NBA. So, like, I think there's a blueprint for them to win a game, but it probably would have to be game two, because going back to LA, if you're down 0-2, that's when, and you've fully lost home court advantage at that point, that's when that doubt starts to creep into your head a little bit. And I think at that point, you know, you're thinking maybe the Lakers sweep them. So for Memphis, it's going to be, you know, whether Ja plays or not, I think game two is really their kind of last chance to make this a series. And if they end up losing that and going down 0-2 back to LA, you know, I think you got to really favor the Lakers at that point. But I think, you know, Memphis, I think, you know, I voted for Taylor Jenkins second in the coach of the year race. I think, you know, all the things they dealt with this season with Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, missing the first few weeks of the season, and Ja and all his stuff, and Desmond Bane missing 20 plus games. Like, I think he's figured out how to weather different storms and get the most out of his group. So I think they'll be prepared for game two, but I don't, it's tough to you know, see how they win a game. If Ja isn't not only available, but I think playing at close to 100%.
Jovan Bua covers the Lakers for The Athletic, taking some time to join us here on Lakers Talk. We've kind of seen this before with the Lakers, and I'm curious if it's still a question mark for you. We've seen the Lakers at times play down to their competition, or maybe a key player is missing, or maybe they're resting some key players and Lakers not as crisp, or maybe lack a sense of urgency or anything like that. Do you still worry about that? Is that something that creeps into your head if Ja doesn't go in game two? Or the Lakers just merely because they took game one, take their foot off the gas a little bit? How much of a concern should that be, you think, for this upcoming game?
I think it's a slight concern, you know, particularly because they won game one, that, you know, there's just naturally that let up. One, you know, thing you tend to hear in the playoffs is, oh, you know, this team came out more aggressive than us, or they punched us in the mouth early. And like, you could see that from, again, you know, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks get hot from deep, hit a few threes in the first quarter, and that Memphis crowd is going crazy. And you know, Memphis is up 17-9. And, you know, how do the Lakers respond to that? That being said, I think you've seen a level of focus. Like, to me, you know, one of the stories from game one that I didn't mention yet was Anthony Davis's masterclass defensively. I mean, 7 blocks, 3 steals. Last player to do that in a playoff game was Draymond Green in 2016, 7 years ago. Last player to post 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 blocks in a playoff game was Tim Duncan in 2007. So, like, that was really a historic, you know, defensive performance from AD. And, you know, really shut off Ja in the pick and roll. And you know, that's the AD that, you know, we saw in that 2020 title run. And I think if the Lakers get that version of AD defensively, you know, it's arguably the best defender in the world. And, you know, what one of the game's better rim protectors and you know, paint, you know, defenders. So to me, like, if the Lakers can get that version of AD, LeBron finds his rhythm offensively, Darvin's got the group ready to adjust and counter to whatever Memphis is doing. Like, there's no reason why this team shouldn't win if Ja doesn't play and isn't close to 100%. So, you know, yes, to your point, I think we've seen that from the Lakers this season and some of their losses to, you know, the bottom teams in the NBA, that, you know, they can sometimes play down to the level of their competition. But for me, the level of focus that they had in game one and really just the vibe in the locker room, I'm not as concerned with that. LeBron is going to have these guys ready. You know, the multiple players talked about LeBron and AD talking to them about the playoffs, about what it takes to go on a deep playoff run. And I think you saw that in game one. So it almost felt like the Lakers flipped the switch in terms of their execution and their focus. And I suspect that will continue in game two.
Jovan, how big of a motivation do you think it would be for the Lakers to, if they have the ability to make this a short series, like I said, just some bad luck coming here for the Memphis Grizzlies, How big do you think it would be if the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings are in a dogfight of a series and Lakers can kind of clean up whatever they have to do and hopefully get rid of the Memphis Grizzlies early on? How much of benefit do you think that is for the Lakers, especially as we just saw them with 4 days rest? They looked fresh yesterday. Now you get a couple more days rest before Wednesday, a couple more days rest after that for Saturday's game. Just how key do you think that is for the Lakers?
I think that would be huge. You know, I think that would be everything for them, just because, you know, I think even down the stretch of the fourth quarter, you saw AD took one shot until the final minute. LeBron took one shot in the fourth quarter, and that was because Austin was running the show and Rui was his sidekick, and those guys didn't have to do as much offensively. And I think, you know, in the past, LeBron might have asked for the ball, even if Austin was kind of in that groove of just saying, you know, I'm LeBron, I'm going to trust myself, I want to close this game the way I want to close it. But I think, you know, LeBron has kind of figured out a way to almost be selective with deploying his energy. And you kind of saw, it was like, okay, Austin, you run the show, I'm going to stand in the corner, I'm going to be the ultimate decoy, and I don't have to do as much. And it was almost the equivalent of the Lakers blowing the Grizzlies out and LeBron getting to rest those final few minutes of just, okay, Austin, you run pick and rolls, you run double pick and rolls, you know, you're going to do your thing, and I'm just going to kind of stand over here. So I think for the Lakers to make this a 4 or 5 game series, you know, obviously that would be great just for also avoiding injury, you know, with the AD scare and just kind of getting those guys out in one piece. But the rest component, I think, would be huge. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking at it now. We'll see what happens with Sacramento and Golden State and if that series goes 6 or 7 games. But for the Lakers, if they can make this a 4 or 5 game series, that series goes 6 or 7, you know, I think they have to like their chances to potentially make a conference finals run.
Jovan, I really appreciate the time. I know a lot going on over there in Memphis, but thank you for always for doing this. All right, bud?
Anytime, man.
All right, that's Jovan Buha of The Athletic. Yeah, it's interesting, that point he made. That was so odd to see last night, where you see Austin Reeves kind of orchestrating the offense, doing a little screen and roll action with Anthony Davis. And there's LeBron off ball. Hey, if you guys need me, I'll be right here. If you need me, it's like, you know, we're not accustomed to seeing that. And I think there's, you know, I think there's something to that. I think, number one, if something's working, like it was working for Austin Reeves, specifically in that fourth quarter, why would you not just keep going to a play that is effective, number one? And number two, it's great to just see, like I mentioned, it's great to see LeBron James defer in a moment like that and say, hey, it's all good. Let this thing play out. Bron's going to pick his moments, his spots, and you'd rather see just good basketball being played than somebody forcing shots or whatever the case is. So you certainly like to see that. I want to spend a quick second here talking about what we should expect on Wednesday from the Lakers. And I think what we see on Wednesday will tell a lot about this team, because if I just kind of go back to what I was just referring to as far as taking advantage of the circumstances in front of you, do the Lakers take their foot off the gas, or is this when, hey, the playoffs have started? It's LeBron James, it's Anthony Davis, it's guys that have been doing this for a long time in the league, it's champions. A guy like Dennis Schroeder's been in the league for a long time. How much does their impact of, we're not messing around here, you got a chance to potentially make this a short series, and you just have to handle business. I've been, you know, I keep harping on it. Maybe I harp on it too much, but rest seems to be the greatest thing that could happen to the Lakers at this stage of the season. The fact that they got those 4 days off, the fact that they'll be fresh for game two, the fact that they'll be fresh for game three and four, and then after that, if that series keeps going on, now it's Memphis, L.A., Memphis, you know, you're going to go back and forth for the final couple of the games, where now it's travel and you only have 1 day in between. The rest is so incredibly important for the Lakers, and I fully expect, I'm going to say this, I said it earlier in the show, fully expect the Lakers to go up 2-0 if Ja's not there. I don't see a sustainable scenario for the Memphis Grizzlies to hang in a series without their best player on top of already missing two key big men, and you could see what Anthony Davis was able to do on the other side. And that would give the Lakers, obviously, an opportunity to finish the series in L.A. And I'm not telling you that it's going to happen, but if Ja's not there, that's what I would expect to happen. I would be disappointed. You know, a lot of times you go on the road and you start off a series, one of the first things that you say is, hey, just get the split. Just get the split. Well, Lakers already got the split, but their circumstances are different. Now you can get greedy. And I don't think you're getting greedy. I think it's just, again, it's one team is not healthy, and you certainly are healthy. I thought this was kind of funny yesterday. I was looking at Desmond Bane, a lot of people are looking at it as disrespect that after the game one win, we obviously know what Rui Hachimura did, and Desmond Bane told Tim McMahon, ESPN's Tim McMahon, basically told him, it's probably the best game of his career. It's a 7-game series. Let's see if he can do it again on Wednesday. A lot of people say, oh, he's disrespecting Rui. No, I think they have a game plan where they're not expecting Rui to hit 5 threes and they're not expecting Rui to have 29 points. I think that's okay. I think you can have that be a part of your game plan, and then just Rui came through and did what he did. But I saw a lot of that, today. And just some of the media outlets talking about, here's Desmond Bane. Why does Memphis keep running their mouth? I don't think that to me is not running your mouth. Running your mouth is when Dylan Brooks saying, he's kind of calling out, hey, I want that team. I want to play the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to play LeBron James. I think that's more running your mouth, or the way Dylan Brooks has ran his mouth at the Golden State Warriors in the past. This is just, we had a game plan. Our game plan, we were depending on Rui not to hit 5 of 6 threes and go 11 of 14 from the field. It's a 7-game set. He's going to get those same shots coming up on Wednesday. And, then it's up to, obviously Rui Hachimura to do what he can. I will say this. He had no problem taking the big shots yesterday. I love some of the post-game comments, what some of the players were saying about Rui and basically that, hey, we're telling this guy, no, we need you to hit that shot. That's the shot that you're going to get. We have confidence that you're going to take that shot. Rui's saying that he has, he feels like as far as the organization goes, everybody's got confidence in him. So he's obviously in a situation where he could try to thrive. But I don't think that's disrespect from Desmond Bane. I think Desmond Bane's just saying, we went through, hey, what do you want? You want LeBron to take all these shots? You want AD to take all these shots? You want Austin Reeves to take all these shots? Or you want Rui Hachimura to take these shots? And it was clearly the game plan was, yeah, we'll go ahead and let Rui take them. And Rui took complete advantage of it. Okay, final break here. I got final thoughts coming up. I want to talk about some of the other matchups, specifically in the Western Conference. Kings and the Warriors are playing right now. Clippers and the Suns, fantastic game one and a surprise win for the Los Angeles Clippers yesterday. And I got a couple kudos that I want to give from yesterday's game as well, specifically to Lakers head coach Darvin Ham. We'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. I appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Tomorrow, back on with Travis Rogers at 10. We got all our local shows tomorrow. So Sedano and Cap at, I'm going backwards here, at 4 o'clock. Mason in Ireland, Travis Lee, Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max will start things off in the morning. Okay, so a couple things here before we wrap up the show. I'm going to get to a couple of these NBA stuff and the series right now going on between the Warriors and the Kings. Just a quick one on specifically, I mentioned the kudos to Darvin Ham. Something that happened yesterday that whenever it happens in sports, man, it's the worst thing to watch. Whenever a player is doing something, it could be any. You describe how you want to call it. Somebody hits 3 threes in a row. Somebody is playing fantastic on the offensive end or the defensive end. And then a coach just takes him out. It's like, yeah, but, on paper, we're supposed to take him out at this time. I thought coach yesterday, the five players that he played to close out that game, number one, and how he used Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves and some of these other guys, something was working. And Darvin Ham was not in the business of trying to We talked about it pregame, and these are the five that are going to close. Or, no, I was only going to play Rui this X amount of minutes or whatever the case is. So kudos to him. Doing something that you don't see all that often in the NBA when it comes to coaches just kind of sticking to a game plan rather than having a feel for the game and just going with what's working. Okay, there's some really good playoff matches. I'm just going to stick on the Western Conference here, specifically just two series. So Sacramento is playing Golden State right now. Golden State had like an early 7-point lead or something like that. And now Sacramento's on a 14-2 run. So they have a 33-27 lead. Okay, I want to say this. I don't think this is a series yet. And let me tell you, let me kind of explain what I mean here. It's not a series yet for me. Sacramento's got to get these first two games. They have to get both of these games in Sacramento. And if Sacramento goes up 2-0, then I actually really, really believe that we got a series here. Until that happens, because we know the Golden State Warriors, this is a championship team. Heck, they had chances to win game one. And I thought if they lost game one, it really didn't mean all that much to Golden State. Now they kind of gave it away, but it gives Sacramento a little bit of life. And then if you find a way to win this game, you go up 2-0, I still think Golden State's going to win the series. Unless Sacramento can grab the first two games of the series, now we're talking. Now you actually have a series. Now, let me switch this to a Laker perspective. This, I'm not trying to disrespect the Sacramento Kings. It's just as simple as this. When you don't have a team that has had a long run in the postseason, when you don't have a team that has a lot of playoff experience, and then the fact that you're going up against a franchise that's won four NBA championships in the last 8-9 years, it's okay to have hesitation or question whether they're going to be able to do this on a sustainable level in this series. They're up 4 right now, 8 minutes left to go. From a Laker perspective, Lakers would play the winner of this series. All right, they play the winner of the Kings and the Golden State Warriors. Laker fans, just cheer for a long series. That's what you want here. I think we all let this series go 7 games. Sounds good. Go 7 games. Because if the Lakers can handle business against the Memphis Grizzlies and do it relatively fast with, now some of the question marks with Ja Morant and the Lakers just playing better basketball, you can be in a situation where the Lakers can have some significant rest going into round two. And you'll have another team, one of these teams, Kings or the Warriors, coming off a really long series. And I'm sure a hard-fought series. So it's only game two of their series, and Sacramento's got a 2-point lead, but you can see how that could be very impactful for the Lakers. Okay, last series I want to get into, Clippers and the Suns from yesterday. Did not see that one coming. I thought the Phoenix Suns would handle business. They did not. A great game one to watch. I'll tell you what, there was a few different times where I'm sitting back and I'm just watching. I'm like, am I seeing Kawhi and KD just go back and forth against each other, actually guarding each other? That was amazing to watch. And I'm even going to give, and for other Laker fans out there, I don't feel the same way. Russell Westbrook didn't work. That was simple. It didn't work, and it's over. And the Lakers got a lot of players now and are benefiting from having a team that is a better fit. Russ shot 3 of 19 and found a way to help win that game, which is just crazy to kind of say. But he was impactful, had big-time plays, and that looks like it's going to be a fun series. Let Clippers and the Suns go 7 games. Let Kings and the Warriors go 7 games. I don't think that matters to Laker fans. We just want to see a lot of those teams use a lot of that gas that they have. All right, Laker fans, I'm back on tomorrow. I appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Thank you to Michael Funches. Thank you to Laura Romo. Thank you to Mara Ruiz. If you miss any part of the show, grab it on the podcast. Thanks, Laker fans. Hope you guys have a great night.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.